Good morning. Welcome to our celebration of worship. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Praise to the Lord. O my soul, praise Him. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise the Lord. Let's join now in our song of worship number 22, Stand Up and Bless the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come into your presence with praise and adoration. We praise you as our strength and our Redeemer. We are filled with joy for the many blessings that you have showered upon us. We come seeking a deeper relationship with you and with each other. Open our ears to hear your word more clearly and open our hearts to respond more lovingly. Bless this time of worship that we may grow closer to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It is a beautiful day to worship the Lord, and I'm delighted that you've come to join us today. If you are our guest this morning, we're delighted that you are here. We invite you to fill out a visitor's card, which you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. You can put that in the offering plate later on in the worship service. We welcome you. Later on this week, we have a parish council meeting. That's Thursday at 7. I want to talk about missions for a minute. Today is the last Sunday that we will be accepting items for PIN, which is our September missions emphasis. I still think you have a list of items that you can bring, but you can bring those anytime. So if you have forgotten and you have things you want to bring, bring them next week. The month of October, our twin missions emphasis are on Crop Walk, which of course is next, October the 8th, and we will not be as heavily involved in walking it this year because of our missions day. But there is a jar out in the fellowship area for those of you who would like to contribute to it, and we strongly encourage you to consider prayerfully what you might give. We are also looking forward to our missions day on October the 8th when we will be hosting Emerson and Ivy Wu, who are missionaries to Hong Kong, and also Sarah McCurdy, who is in Costa Rica. And we look forward to that day. We will be having two sessions to let the missionaries present their program and whatever information they would like for us to have. That will be during the Sunday school hour, which we won't have, so everybody come. And also the worship hour, and we'll be having a potluck dinner on that day. I'm just excited about what's about to come. And of course, that's in conjunction with our October emphasis on the World Missions Offering, which begins in October. This afternoon at 4 o'clock at the Springdale Baptist Church is the ABC, American Baptist Marian Association rally. There will be a business meeting and a meal and a worship service. And anybody who would like to come is welcome. There's new music ministry, and I'm going to let Mary Lou announce it and talk to us today.
If you received your newsletter, you'll notice that there are a couple of new things. One of those is that I would like for you to pick your favorite hymn so that we can include it in the service in October and November. So please make sure you fill that out and put that in the offering plate. It's on the Get Connected slip in your bulletin. The second one is in your newsletter. It has a big rectangle around it, and it's something new that we're going to try. I would like to have men, young men, and boys all meet on October 1st, 7 o'clock for a half an hour. I would like to have them come together and just have fun singing together, hymns, patriotic songs, and maybe from that start a men's group that would like to sing at church. So put it on your calendar if you like to sing. I'm not worried about parts. I just come and have a good time singing is what I'd like you to do. So we'll start with that on October 1st, and hopefully we will keep that going. So please join us. October 1st, 7 o'clock, Sunday evening. Thanks.
And yes, I'm coming to that. Our song of praise this morning is In the Faith We Sing. It is number 2008. Let all things now living, shall we stand together and sing.
Let us worship now with our tithes and offerings. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. O Lord, bless these tithes and offerings. We bring them to your altar that they may sustain our congregation, that they may serve our community, that they may minister in mission, that they may further your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Shall we have a children's moment this morning? Candy.
Bread.
That's exactly what this is. Although you might say it was like a cracker or something like that. But actually what this is matzah. It's unleavened bread. It goes along with the story in the book of Exodus when the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt. And Moses told them that God was going to deliver them. And on the night of Passover, they were told not to put yeast in their bread. You know why? Do you know what yeast makes bread do? Makes it rise. And they were told, you're not going to have time. Your deliverance is coming. There won't be time for the bread to rise. And every year when they celebrate Passover, they have a feast of unleavened bread to celebrate when God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. Looks like that because it doesn't have any yeast in it. And then when they got out in the wilderness, they kind of ran low on food, and they complained about it, even though God had just delivered them. So God told them that every morning there would be this bread-like food on the ground that was called manna. And every morning they could go out and they could collect enough of it just for their families for that one day. God told them, Don't collect enough for 2 days or 3 days because you're not going to eat this with leftovers because it's going to spoil. And that meant that they had to trust that every day God would provide for their needs. So that's what the manna in the wilderness signified, God taking care of them every day. Well, you know me, I like to have reminders. Last week our reminders were pencils with erasers. And it reminded us that God forgives us. This week, bread is our reminder. This is unleavened bread.
that we can think of any time we eat a sandwich or a hot dog with a bun or just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you see the bread, you can be reminded that God will always be there to deliver you and take care of your every need. I'm going to let each of you have some matzah. I'm not going to say you can eat it. It can be your reminder. If you get permission from your parents, you can eat it. It's like a cracker. But at least it can be your reminder about God's love. Shall we pray? Lord, we're thankful that you do take care of us and meet our every need. We thank you that you deliver us when we find ourselves in trouble, and we ask that you would instill in us a simple trust and faith in your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Are there prayer concerns that you would like to share with the congregation this morning?
My daughter, who had surgery last week, she had a disc removed out of her neck. She's doing fine. But my sister Carol, who's a member here, she has found she has a stress fracture in her left leg as well as the ankle broken in her right. She needs our prayers.
I just want to thank my daughters and their husbands for their selfless act this past week to go to Morgantown and work with my brother to get his will signed, finally. We are all just breathing great sighs of relief because it took an intervention to get this done, but we got it done. 10 years. We're just very, I'm so thankful for my kids.
And we are quite thankful for these two, especially Jim, greasing the wheels for us. Got a text last night from Claire. They are in Columbus for a horse show today at Ohio State. But last night while they were eating dinner, the van that they were traveling in for the equestrian team was broken into. And so she lost her backpack and laptop, and many of the other kids on the equestrian team also lost items. So just prayers for them. Thank you.
We're in continued prayer for earthquake victims and hurricane victims, as we should be. Those are ongoing situations. Also, we remember to pray for our country and its leaders and all of those who serve. Shall we pray? We are thankful, O Lord, that you come to each of us when we gather for worship, but also in our daily lives. And you reveal to us your love and kindness and your grace. You teach us about your will for us, and that it is not only a general will for us as human beings, but it's specific for each one of us. We thank you for that kindness, and we are amazed. We offer to you our thanksgiving and our praise. We ask that you would convict us of our sinfulness. We ask that you would forgive. We ask that you would mend, restore, transform, and make new. We pray that you would take care of all our needs, the pressing physical needs that we have, the relationship needs that we have, and also the spiritual needs. We know they're all related and that you love and care for us. Make us ever mindful of your presence in our lives. and accept our praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A song of meditation this morning is also in the faith we sing, number 2071. Jesus, name above all names. Shall we stand together and sing?
Scripture reading for this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary. For you, since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress in joy and faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live in a manner, life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that as you saw, I had now here that I still have. May God add a blessing to this, the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear. Praying if the path be drear. If in danger for Him call. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last. Trusting Him till earth be past. Till within the jasper wall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all.
Weather has been delightful here lately. It's a September habit, I think, in the Midwest. And I am thankful for it. Although I am unaware that in other places it has been severe, I've been able to take several walks just to be a part of it. And I've noticed the hints of fall color beginning to appear. And I've also noticed that it was warmer in September than it was in August. Sometimes, if you're like me, when you have beautiful days outside and you can go for a walk and you feel pretty good, there is no pain, and everything's paid for, and all are well, seems like it would be pretty nice if we could just live our lives like that all the time without the inconvenience of pain and suffering, which is, of course, worse for some than others, and sometimes worse and sometimes better for most of us. In today's text, Paul speaks of a struggle. And I know that Paul's struggle is very specific to him, and he has defined it in other places. Tells the people in Philippians that they are part of the same struggle. He himself has experienced some hardships that one way or another come to each. And the struggle of death comes around, and sometimes the struggle of hardships, and forces us to deal with life's most pressing questions. And it's a good thing for us to do, even on a beautiful day. What is the meaning of it all? When I was in seminary, we used to have to read a book for our philosophy class, Christian philosophy, called Encountering Evil. I have this distinct memory of one beautiful September day of somebody running out of the door of the seminary and taking that book and throwing it up against the wall and leaving. Because I thought, I feel the same way. I just don't want to deal with that. But it's a broader question than just dealing with pain and suffering. It's where does meaning come from? Can we find meaning in success or pleasure? Can we find meaning in knowledge or technology? We spend a lot of time pursuing them. Can we find meaning in things like goodness and uprightness? And will we find them in relationships? I always say that. Meaning comes from relationships, but what do we mean by that? Some days I would just rather take a walk in the sunshine. Paul was in prison when he made his suggestive statement, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain," which is a statement about where meaning comes from. On the surface, we may conclude that Paul has just reached the point where he had faced a truth that most of us avoid, at least if you're like me, when we can, and that truth is that heavenly life is better than earthly life, and it is to be preferred. I've probably mentioned this before. It reminds me of the old country music song, Kenny Chesney, so it's not that old, I guess. Turns out it wasn't written by Kenny Chesney, it was written by Jim Collins and Marty Dodson, and I don't know who's to blame for the lyrics. But it expresses a youthful understanding and perhaps a superficial understanding of life. Everybody wants to go to heaven, get their wings and fly around. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. And I've run into that not only in my own life, but I've run into it in the lives of people that I've been the pastor or friends with who will say, "I'm not ready. I've got more things to do. I'm enjoying this." Everybody wants to go to heaven. Have a mansion high above the clouds. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. The song is meant to be clever and funny, and it is. But it reveals an attachment to this life that turned out to be understandable, especially on beautiful days. Much of our experience here is wonderful and pleasing and rewarding. And I think most of us, our attitude is that if you've been blessed to come into this life, there are certain experiences that you should have. A lot of times it's fun. And we are attached to it. I think it's true that medical science, and sometimes I think a lot of industrial endeavor, is built around this gospel. That life here is so good, it is to be extended as long as possible. And wherever possible, to be improved. And we spend a great deal of time working on those improvements. That is why Paul is challenging, because clearly Paul does not agree with that philosophy of life. And I suppose we have to take it into consideration that he's in prison when he writes this. But I don't think that's the only factor in his life that he was considering. Paul has concluded that he would like to go now, but he'll stay if he must. Actually, he says he's torn. Instead of a self-centered life bent upon pleasure or fulfillment, Paul claims a Christ-centered life bent on service, and not just mere service for the sake of it, but service to God. This is really interesting. Our understanding is that the letter to the Philippians was written later in Paul's career, closer to the end than it was to the beginning. In some of his earlier letters, we come across the idea that he thought Christ's return would happen in his lifetime. That was a pressing need. But here we seem to see Paul contemplating the possibility that maybe that's not going to take place and he's going to die first. This is a development that is a mature development that was forced on not only people like Paul, but on all of Christians everywhere, just simply by the passage of time. Here we are, 2,000 something years later, almost. Paul's life took on a unique character because he remained when he did. It meant travel. It meant not so much having a home. There are people like that in the world. That may not be the same for you or for me. It also meant that he ran into some problems, and he not only ran into the ordinary everyday problems associated with human life, but also some of the problems he ran into were because of his vocation, because he traveled, because of his calling, his service to the church. That's what it meant for him, to live as Christ, to die as gain. But I wonder what it means for us. If one is a doctor or a teacher or a business person or a farmer, what is to live is Christ. And of course, I mentioned general categories to which we can give general answers to assist in the healing process, to provide education, to create wealth, to feed the world. I think of farmers because, you know, farmers don't travel much. Some of the farmers in Illinois that I knew hardly ever traveled. They had to be on the farm every day. It's a different life than what Paul led. But I think in the end, we will not be satisfied with answers like that, because Paul says, if he remains, it will mean for him meaningful work. And that's important. But it's not just meaningful because he was an evangelist or an apostle. It's meaningful because for Paul, even that meant something much more specific. And I think it means something much more specific for each of us, to live as Christ. We can concede the point about to die as gain, and maybe for each one of us, sooner or later in our life, that becomes real, where we are torn like Paul. It's fair to say that the depths of Paul's understanding that drove him to say this have been impacted by his imprisonment and other experiences, which means for him, we're taken back to that struggle that he mentions. A kind of hardship. And maybe his hardship and struggle is not meant to be yours or everyone else's, but we each have our own. Paul's inherited faith taught him well about these struggles. As a matter of fact, to be an Israelite itself, the name Israel, which comes from Jacob's experience at the ford of the river Jabbok, when he wrestled with an angel all night long, and he was almost about to win, and then the angel just sort of touched her his hip and threw it out of socket, and all of a sudden he was crippled, and he would not let go until he received a blessing, and he was told, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, you shall be called Israel," which means because you have struggled, you have contended with God, and have prevailed. Perhaps it is in this regard that a gospel philosophy of life is more different from that song, the superficial song that some people like to sing. It's a catchy tune about going to heaven, but not now. For Paul, the reason to remain will never be so that he can have more enjoyment of life's experiences, but it is to be engaged. Engaged in the struggle with God and in the struggle for God, engaged in service and sacrifice that leads to salvation. That's interesting because it means that whenever we encounter goodness, whenever we have beautiful days, we can ask our question, to live is Christ, what does that mean for me today? It also means that when we encounter trouble or hardship from any quarter of life, health concerns, natural disaster, sin, strife with neighbors and enemies far wide, far and wide, we may not turn away from that trouble, but toward it. Not try to escape it, but face it in the confidence that we meet Christ there. And in that meeting, we find stronger fulfillment and better meaning than in any other way. To live is Christ. And for Paul, as for the rest of the New Testament, and I think for all of us, Christ is Jesus the crucified. The image of Jesus on the cross is always before us. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul comes right out and says, we preach Christ crucified. There's no way around the issues of service and self-sacrifice. And Jesus himself becomes the great example of someone whose life was lived as a sacrifice to God. But Paul does not say to live is to sacrifice, or even to live is to serve, for we're good at turning things like that into just another way of self-seeking. And service and sacrifice are not necessarily more meaningful than any other pleasure or form of self-seeking that we might try. To live is Christ. Actually, I think these words make a good prayer. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Not so much a prayer to ask, but one to listen to, because there's always an element of prayer that's listening. And even though Paul obviously is writing a letter to the Philippians that has specific circumstances, he comes out sometimes with these words that have broad and general application. To live is Christ. Listen to that. There are other prayers that we can get from Scripture. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Lord, I pray that I would come to love you with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength and all my mind. To live is Christ. Is a prayer like that. Listen to it. Listen to it every day. When you listen to it every day, it works on you. What does it mean to me for this day? To live is Christ, as clumsily as I might be saying it, means that in the struggle, that it means in the beauty and the wonder, it means that in the hard times, we do not so much find fulfillment as we meet Christ. We meet God, and in that encounter we are shaped and molded. Wounded, to be sure, but also healed and transformed. So that before we're done, our conclusion will be like Paul's, that as long as it is God's will, we will remain and continue with one another for mutual progress and joy in the faith, conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of Christ without fear until that day, that blessed day when we gain the goal of our salvation, the end of our salvation, which is to be with Christ. And then, the things that come our way are filled with meaning because Christ is there. And our work turns into not just work, but meaningful service. And our experiences of the blessings of life become rich and transforming. And when life deals us hardship, it turns into character building. It turns into lessons learned. It turns into a shaping for the kingdom of heaven. To live is Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that whatever our circumstances are, we will find you. Help us to learn to pay attention. Help us to learn to ask. Help us to learn to listen, so that each one would know in our hearts to live is Christ and to die is gain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We invite you, as we sing our hymn of dedication this morning, to prayerfully consider what it means to live as Christ. As we stand and sing, number 509, Is Your Life a Channel of Blessing? Shall we stand together? We ask, O Lord, that as we leave this place, you would go with us wherever we go, that you would be in everything that we do, and that we would meet you there, and that our lives would be enriched by that encounter, and that our world would also be enriched. In Christ, we pray. Amen.